to the Swiss Alpine resort of Davos now, where world leaders are gathering to discuss economics and trade, but where the attention of those in attendance is cast across the Atlantic to the United States, where President Donald Trump is threatening trade wars with China, Canada, Mexico and Europe. Our Europe editor, Tony Connolly, is in Davos for us this morning. And Tony, Donald Trump will not be in Davos in person, but he will be joining the conversation later this week by video link. What is he expected to say?
Well, his inaugural statement last night and then briefings he gave to the US media seemed to be really focused on the domestic agenda. So one would imagine he'll have a message for the international community, the European community. It's really a global gathering here at Davos, so there'll be enormous attention on what he says about US-China relations, what he says about the war in Ukraine, especially what he might say on tariffs against EU member states and European goods. He didn't really get into that in detail yesterday, although speaking to reporters last night in the Oval Office, he did say that he would target European countries unless they buy more US oil. And by coincidence or otherwise, Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission President, even suggested back in Budapest in November after his election that perhaps, you know, if it's going to be a transactional relationship, then Europe should buy more LNG from the United States. So that's really going to be where all the expectation is. But of course, he's, you know, his presence, his speech last night is really dominating this gathering of the World Economic Forum.
And President Trump has previously spoken out about Irish trade arrangements with the United States. Do we know yet what his economic policies will mean for Ireland?
It's still guesswork at this stage. I think really, what, you know, once he gets into specifics about tariffs, you know, I think he's going to be appointing experts to look at specific countries where there's a trade imbalance, in his view. And he has, as you say, he has in general complained about the fact that stuff is manufactured for the American market, but manufactured outside America. Now, a lot of the US companies that operate in Ireland do so because they want to access the European market. So, you know, there is some confidence in Ireland and within the government that there is sufficient resilience in there for the Irish economy. But here's what Peter Burke, the Minister for Enterprise, had to say shortly after that speech by Donald Trump last night here in Davos.
We're well insulated to deal with those concerns. If you look at the first Trump administration from 2016 when they came into office, and you look in relation to aluminium and steel, were very early tariffs, and you saw in terms of what happened in Canada, for example, the way they responded in a way that hit ordinary US citizens. So President Trump is a businessman. He knows that when you invoke tariffs, that there can be costs and significant costs to the US economy as well. But I believe as a business person, when you look at the totality of the relationship and the fact that Ireland as a country has 120,000 people employed across all 50 states in the US with over 500 companies, that's very significant.
That's Peter Burke there. Tony, Donald Trump isn't in Davos until Thursday, or speaking in Davos until Thursday. Tell us about some of the other big names that will be in attendance there over the next couple of days.
Well, today, Justin, Ursula von der Leyen, the Commission President, will give a very keenly awaited speech just about 10 o'clock local time this morning. Olaf Scholz, the German Chancellor, will speak tomorrow. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres will speak. And Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, will be speaking there today. Syrian foreign minister. So every aspect of geopolitics is going to be covered in terms of the speakers here this week.
And before the event even began, Tony, the president of the World Economic Forum said that three decades of global cooperation following the end of the Cold War had definitely ended. What did he mean by that, and what comes next?
Well, yeah, I mean, this was based on a barometer of global CEOs and companies and academics and politicians looking at basically the fragmentation and the, you know, greater rivalry at a geopolitical level, US-China relations, the war in Ukraine, the war in the Middle East, countries and geopolitical blocs essentially just not cooperating and being a lot more antagonistic on the world stage. And he didn't really know what the new world order would be, but despite that, there is a sense that global companies are adapting to AI, they're adapting to new realities. And in terms of Donald Trump's election, the global chairman of PwC, Mohamed Kandi, spoke to me last night about how CEOs were pricing that in and trying to adapt to that new reality. And here's what he had to say.
You know, from my standpoint, based on the feedback we get from many CEOs around the world, is that CEOs are going to continue to execute their strategies. And they might adapt the strategies, again, how they execute the strategies, depending on the additional decisions that may be made by might be made by the U.S. But today, we are not seeing any organization out there stopping and changing the direction of travel for their own businesses. They have responsibilities with the stakeholders. They understand the opportunities in the world, and they're just going to move. How to do it might be different, but today, the level of confidence for CEOs to invest in the business is the highest that we have seen in the last 3 years.
That's Mohamed Kandi of PwC ending that contribution from Tony Connolly.